So today we'll read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 29. Chapter 29 of Canto 4 is called as Talks Between Narad and Prachinabhadi. And our specific focus will be on text number 32. Sorry, text number 52. So 4.29.52. Now today's verse goes as follows. Naradam vacha.
Naradavacha.
Prashna evam hi sanchinno.
Prashna evam hi sanchinno.
Prashna evam hi sanchinno.
Prashna evam hi sanchinno.
Bhavata purusharsabah.
Bhavata purusharsabah.
Atra me vadato guhyam.
Atra me vadato guhyam.
Nishamaya sunischitam.
Nishamaya sunischitam.
Naradam vacha.
Naradam vacha.
Prashna evam hi sanchinno.
Prashna evam hi sanchinno.
Bhavata purusha rishabha.
Bhavata purusha rishabha.
Atra me vadato guhyam.
Atra me vadato guhyam.
Nishamaya sunischitam.
Nishamaya sunischitam.
Naradam vacha.
Naradam vacha.
Prashna evam hi sanchinno.
Prashna evam hi sanchinno.
Bhavata purusha rishabha.
Bhavata purusha rishabha.
Atra me vadato guhyam.
Atra me vadato guhyam.
Nishamaya sunischitam.
Nishamaya sunischitam.
Naradam vacha.
Narada vacha.
Narada said.
Narada said.
Prashna.
Prashna.
Question.
Question.
Evam.
Evam.
Thus he. Certainly.
Certainly.
Sanchinna.
Sanchinna.
Answer.
Answer.
Bhavata.
Bhavata.
You are. Purusha Rishabha.
Purusha Rishabha.
O great personality.
O great personality.
Atra.
Atra.
Here.
Here.
Me vadatah.
Me vadatah.
As I am speaking.
As I am speaking.
Guhyam.
Guhyam.
Confidential.
Confidential.
Nishamaya.
Nishamaya.
Here.
Here.
So nishchitam.
So nishchitam.
Perfectly ascertained.
Perfectly ascertained.
Translation. The great saint Narad continued, O great personality, I have replied properly about all that you have asked me. The great sage Narad continued, O great personality, I have replied properly about all that you have asked me. Now hear another narration that is accepted by saintly persons and is very confidential. Now hear another narration that is accepted by saintly persons and is very confidential. Purport. Srila Prabhupada. Sri Narad Muni is personally acting as the spiritual master of King Barhishma. It was Narad Muni's intention that through his instructions, the king would immediately give up all engagement in fruitive activity and take to devotional service. However, although the king understood everything, he was still not prepared to give up his engagements. As the following verses will show, the king was contemplating sending for his sons who were away from home, executing austerities and penances. After their return, he would entrust his kingdom to them and then leave home. This is the position of most people. They accept a bona fide spiritual master and listen to him. But when the spiritual master indicates that they should leave home and fully engage in devotional service, they hesitate. The duty of the spiritual master is to instruct the disciple as long as he does not come to the understanding that this materialistic way of life, fruitive activity, is not at all beneficial. Actually, one should take to devotional service from the beginning of life. As Prahlad Maharaj advised, Kaumara Acharyat Pragnyo Dharman Bhagavatan Iha, Bhagavatam 7.6.1. According to all the instructions of the Vedas, we can understand that unless one takes to Krishna consciousness and devotional service, he is simply wasting his time engaging in destructive activities of material existence. Narad Muni therefore decided to relate another allegory to the king so that he might be induced to give up his family life within material existence. Narad Muni therefore decided to relate another allegory to the king so that he might be induced to give up family life within material existence. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjanashalakhaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmay Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Tadamayam Dadati Swapanantikam Mukham Karoti Vachalam Bambhum Langhayate Girim Yatkripatam Maham Vande Sri Guru Dinatarinam Vanchakalpataru Bhyascha Upasindhubhyayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya conversations between Narad Muni and Prachin Varhi have been going on for quite some time. It's been, I think, many months since, many weeks, maybe months that we are discussing this. I believe that at least 4 or 5 chapters this is going on. So it's a very long conversation, one of probably the longer ones in the Srimad Bhagavatam. As all of you know, Narad Muni is very expertly trying to get Prachin Varhi out of his materialistic way of thinking and getting him, and Narad Muni wants to convince him to get detached from material life. So he is using the methodology of an allegory to explain this to him. And as Narad Muni explained this, in between, at the beginning of this chapter, while Prachin Varhi acknowledges Narad Muni is giving him this allegory, Prachin Varhi says, look, I have heard you till now, but I have understood, but maybe I have not understood also many things. So can you please continue? That's what he asked at the beginning of the chapter. And then again Narad Muni continued, 52 verses. Now by now Narad Muni has given him more instructions than what he gave him before. But now Narad Muni himself is realizing as he is speaking to him that he is not seeing the full effect of this conversation on Prachinavarti. He is not seeing the full effect. So, this is because Prachinavarti, unfortunately, earlier, before, prior to he meeting Naradmuni, his gurus were there. There were a lot of gurus he had who were advising him, but most of them are advising him on karma kand, on the path of fruitive activity. They were not advising him in the atheistic way of life, but they were instructing him more on karma kand. Okay, there is some supreme power, but ask him for material benedictions. So he was kind of, he had that mindset, and to remove someone's mindset, which has been developed over years, takes a lot of time. So, Narad Muni is now thinking that, okay, now what can I do further? Because Prachinavarti is still not quite there. And Narad Muni, being merciful to Prachinavarti, does not give up. If someone did not have patience as a preacher, then they would have given up by now. He said, hang on, I am telling you since last 4 chapters, and still you are not detached. So, see you later. I'll probably invest my time elsewhere. But Narad Muni is very, very merciful to Prachinavarti. Now, as much as Narad Muni is merciful, he is yet persuasive and forceful. So, he is not giving a choice now to Prachinavarti. He is not asking Prachinavarti, Prachinavarti, can I tell you a little bit more now with your kind permission? No. Narad Muni is saying that I have replied properly about all that you have asked me. Now, hear another narrative. So, he is not even taking permission from him to talk further. Otherwise, you will ask someone usually. Prabhuji, and just to respect your time, do you have any other appointment? So, shall I continue? No. Narad Muni is continuing. He is saying, there is another narration that is accepted by 70 persons. And to entice him, Narad Muni is throwing an adjective there. He says, this is very confidential. So that to maintain his excitement. Otherwise, he will think, oh, you want to continue the same old story. That is what he told me. So, Narad Muni is persuasive. He is a bit forceful. Now, in the Shastras, we see one of the offenses to the Holy Name is to instruct a faithless person in the glories of the Holy Name. So, sometimes this persuasiveness with someone could be considered as an offense. But in this case, it was not, because Prachinavarti's problem was he was not faithless. Right? So, he was not a faithless person. He had faith, but he was completely misguided by his earlier so-called spiritual masters into fruitive activity. So, it took quite a lot of time for Narad Muni to, it is taking right now, quite a bit of time for him to convince him to give up the path. So, this path of fruitive activity is very prominent in today's world. Of course, in today's world, most population is atheistic. But even if you go to India, amongst those who are not atheistic, you will find that most of them, they have an understanding of spiritual life as a fruitive activity. You go to someone, sometimes when they people come and approach me also, they tell me, oh, it's very nice you are doing all these things, punya kamaji, you earn a lot of punya. Punya means what? Fruitive activity. Yes. So that you can go to, you will go to Swarga later on, you will go to heavenly planets. So people, even in India, though they pray to so many devi devatas, etc., they still don't have the understanding as to why, what is the goal of devotional life. They don't know that. Now, there was in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, towards the end, not towards the end, in the 10th chapter, towards the second part of 10th chapter, Jaini's Karma Mimamsa philosophy is being discussed. This is the Uddhava Gita. Lord Krishna is discussing with Uddhava, the Uddhava Gita, and in that one section is Jaini's Karma Mimamsa philosophy. So I was reading through that, studying that philosophy very recently. And that philosophy of Jaimini, what Jaimini says at the end of the day, don't worry about any supreme personality, etc. It's at the end of the day your karma. You do good karma and you can enjoy this material world. So therefore, this material world, don't come to such conclusions that this material world is dukkhalaya and ashashvatam. It is because you are suffering because you have sinned. So live a very clean life and do a lot of pious activities and every lifetime you will enjoy in this world. That way you can be very happy in this material world. So this is a bogus philosophy. So Prabhupada is cautioning. Be careful against this philosophy. So we don't know, because at the end of the day, birth, disease, old age, death is going to come, regardless of whether you are pious or whether you are not. And Prabhupada gives a very, Prabhupada's disciples who gave the purport, obviously from Prabhupada's other teachings. So it is mentioned that one actually cannot think, even if you accept Jainism philosophy for a moment, this Karma Mimamsa philosophy, it is said that in this material world, you cannot continue your life without sinning. It's not possible. We go out, we will do Ugra Karma. The moment you step out of the temple, there are some ants walking on the thing and then we have already stepped on them. And some ant is cursing us. Okay. Oh, this guy stepped on me. Like that. Or my near and dear ones. I was walking with my family and some devotee outside Hare Krishna temple stepped on me. My whole family. And so whoever survives will curse. Right? So therefore, in this material world, it is very difficult to stay without Ugra Karma. So the disciples of Prabhupada are writing in those purports that even if you try to live like that, eventually you will sin. Somewhere you will sin. Because what will happen? Old age disease are anyway going to come. Or tapatraya, natural calamities are anyway going to come. Regardless of whether we live a clean life or not, if tsunami comes, everyone is impacted. If coronavirus comes, the pious people are also impacted along with the non-pious people. So at that time, what could happen is that, for example, someone would have very nicely worked throughout life as a very pious person, very honestly, to enjoy. But every all bank balance is gone now. So therefore the person will now think, what is the use? I worked full life, now everything is gone. So let me resort to sin now. Let me resort to other techniques. Looks like there is no God. So it is very difficult in this material world, which is designed to frustrate you, to always live in that way, doing pious activities. Because then we are tatashta shakti. So we are very susceptible to sinning as well. So that is the point that the acharyas are driving in countering Jainis Karma Mimamsa philosophy. So Naraduni is saying that this person Prachit Bhagi is so steeped in this Karma Kanda philosophy that he is not giving up this Karma Kanda, and I am also not going to give up. Okay? I am going to persist with this fellow. So at times devotees can get a bit persuasive in our preaching. Especially when there is some affection involved for that person. Now, who are we generally very persuasive to? Suppose you are giving, to some stranger you are talking to. Okay, let's say someone in urban yoga program is talking to. So you are giving him some philosophy. But that fellow says, hang on, I don't think I am too interested, so please. No. And then what will you say? You will again not keep pushing with that person. You say, okay, let us give him time. And no problem, you have prasadam and go. We'll talk later. So you generally, because there is no affection there. But this comes with our parents. All of us would have. We are a little bit pushy. Mother, why are you not chanting Hare Krishna? Because there is some affection, there is some attachment that they become devotees. With our children, it may happen, right? So, wherever there is some affection involved, there is a little bit of that pushiness that comes. Or sometimes this pushiness comes because of the missionary zeal of someone. Okay, that I want to deliver this whole world. Okay? The zeal is so high, I'm not going to leave anyone. So, because of mission is in zeal, or it can come because of compassion also, very high levels of compassion, one can still be persuasive in one's preaching. For example, in book distribution, there was one, I heard from someone that they were doing book distribution, and when this brahmachari was doing book distribution, the person was trying to walk away. But this brahmachari of course said, no, you should please look at this book. Please have a look at one look at this book. So he said, why are you being pushy? Like that. So the brahmachari replied, I'm pushing you because you are rushing. I'm pushing because you are rushing. Okay. Why? Rushing where? Rushing to hell. I'm pushing because you are rushing to hell. Right? I'm not going to allow you to go towards hell is existence. I am not recommending this as a book distribution technique for anyone. But this is, I heard somewhere. That's why I am just sharing. Okay, so you also get our appropriate. Okay. Obviously, there are senior devotees like Vijay Prabhu who will guide on how to do this. But this is an experience of somebody. Okay. So, sometimes out of affection, we tend to push, and it's not always wrong to be a little bit extra persuasive out of affection for some devotee, as long as we don't put them up permanently. So, Srila Prabhupada also pushed when needed. Prabhupada knew when to push and when not to. Prabhupada also pushed when needed. So, we need to understand that Prachin Bhadhi has not asked, can you explain further to Narad Muni? Narad Muni himself is taking this initiative, knowing that Prachin Bhadhi has still not grasped the entire import of what I am trying to tell him. So, without asking him, he is telling him that I am continuing my narration, I am going to tell you something very confidential, therefore, you know, stay on with me. So, this is the nature of an expert preacher. An expert preacher knows how to leave suspense at an end of one phase of conversation and then excite the person to come for the next phase of conversation. Just like, for example, in Bhakti Vriksha program also, we have to, when we do module by module, we leave the audience at a very exciting point. We say, now many of you may be wondering, why do bad things happen to good people? Have you seen bad things happen to good people, and everyone generally says, yes, 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 yes. You know, my uncle was such a nice person, my father was so nice person, he got, you know, cancer or something like that. And he said, that we will see in the class. And so please come next week. Okay, like that. So sometimes we have to leave with a suspense so that people are, we have to leave them with something catchy so that they keep coming for the programs. Okay. So Narada Muni is a very expert preacher. So he is adding that adjective of confidential. I am going to tell you something confidential. As if whatever he told was not confidential. Everything is confidential knowledge at the end of the day. So, but people are people. So today's people, today mankind is entering more and more, you know, people want to live more of an illusionary existence. Everyone is moving towards, very rapidly towards illusion. So today is the world of virtual reality. You see, talk to a grihastha, talk what are the children doing, not grihastha or grihastha or grihamini, talk to both of them, grihamini is more so, right? Many children when they come to teenage, what are they involved in? In PS4 or whatever, always playing, you know, someone is going with a gun and shooting. And nowadays, earlier at least you and the computer were alone, but nowadays you can network with all your friends, they also can come and join you, okay? So there is a, what is that? Headphone also people are keeping, children keep headphones and then they are talking to their friend, hey, save me, I am back you, I am back you. This is how it is happening, okay? And then they are shooting someone. So they are living in this virtual reality thinking that there is something exciting happening. Actually, you know, at the end of the day there is nothing. At the end of 3 hours, what have you achieved? Nothing. We are living in reality, in a virtual world. So children are there, even adults are living in a virtual world. A very good example I heard somewhere is that in the 1950s, when the United States came with the concept of interstate highways. So what happened was, earlier when people used to drive long distances, there were trees, there were rivers, there were canals, so actually there were some cows. People were, you can be in touch with Mother Nature whenever you go to your drive long distance. Okay. But it is said that since the time these interstate highways have come, because they sometimes take aerial route, so sometimes you are going miles and miles and you are not seeing anything of nature, right? Just going like that. And that's why what happens, because there is no variety, then sometimes you fall asleep because the only thing you are seeing is a horizontal line. Like a line is going and there is something just going like this. Both sides are sometimes covered like that. So this is, so people are cut off from nature. This is an example of how people are cut off from nature, even when otherwise they were connected with nature when they were traveling somewhere. So today that is also gone. So people are missing nature. So sometimes what happens, we bring nature into our house in terms of virtual reality. For example, you will see many people have desktops in the office, I have seen. When they are locked off, some fishes are going here. Right? So when you ask the person, you say, hey, I just like nature, so you know, I like fishes, I have created a virtual aquarium. And sometimes the virtual aquariums are designed, programmed in such a way, you touch the fish and then it will move away, like that. And you can even feed the fish, you know, virtually. So people want to stay in this kind of an illusion. I remember, I used to live in a very small house in Bombay. My house was my childhood. I lived 29, 30 years of my life in Bombay, in a low income group, what is that called as government kind of housing quarters. Okay. So where there were 10 to 14 people in my house, 325 square feet. Okay. So somehow we used to try to find ways by which our house can look bigger, or there is some nature that can come. So I remember when I was in year 10 or something, I insisted on my father that you have to put a wallpaper in the house. So one of the walls of the small house had a big scenery, and in the scenery there were trees and there was a path which was going on and on. It was like a virtual thing. So then it gave a feeling that the house is bigger. Or sometimes what people will do, they put mirror on one wall. So the house which is small, the room will be bigger. So everyone is trying to live in this, somehow try to satisfy the senses by getting an illusory experience because they can't afford the real, or because they cannot be in touch with the real. So this whole world is moving in that direction. Even money, for example. So when Srila Prabhupada once said that whenever I used to go to the bank, then the teller will tell me, sir, do you want gold coins, or do you want silver coins, or do you want paper currency? But today we see neither gold nor silver. Even paper currency is not there. Today it's plastic, and even that is also gone. Nowadays it's all about, oh, can you do, what is it? What's your BSB number, and pay anyone? And where is your money? Your money is a number which is sitting in some cloud computer, in some environment. The day it crashes, the bank will ask you, who are you? All master data is gone. People are trying to hack that. So we are living in a very dangerous world right now. Okay. If coronavirus can cause this problem, even a computer virus can bring the world to a complete standstill. Just imagine, banks collapse. Okay. What do you do? Where do you go? And if you call a number, they'll say press 1 for this, press 2, and then there'll be music for 50 minutes. Even nowadays, for example, I was trying to repair my internet was slow. We are waiting for 1 hour, we are hearing music, and then after that someone is coming, hello, what can I do for you? And by the time you have told the problem, the phone gets stuck. Then again, 1 hour, hello, again the music comes. It's frustrating, this virtual world kills us one day. Right? So the materialistic people are determined to be in this illusion. They think this is scientific progress, living in this virtual world. So, more and more devotees like Narad Muni have to go to the outside world, and it's up to us. Prabhupada said, I created this one to educate all these masses who are rapidly progressing towards that which is unreal, chasing the unreal. So in this case, Narad Muni, in his own way, Prachin Bhari was also living in an unreal karma kand world. So Narad Muni wants to deal with Prachin Bhari in one shot, as of now. So he is personally trying to deliver Prachin Bhari. Now there was an interesting conversation, again coming back to technology and virtual things. Once Srila Prabhupada was somewhere in the US or somewhere, and one reporter came and asked Srila Prabhupada, you talk about simple living, why are you traveling in jet planes? He asked Prabhupada, you are talking about simple living, why are you traveling in jet planes? Prabhupada said, what can I do? I have to travel at jet planes because you guys are traveling at supersonic speed towards hell. So I have to beat you in your own speed. So I have to travel in jet planes. So similarly, we see even in 11th canto, which I was studying recently, it is said that Lord Chaitanya went all over India. So a preacher, of course, Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but if you consider Lord Chaitanya also in his role as a preacher, then the missionary zeal which Lord Chaitanya had, which he gave all of us, because of which ISKCON is there today. So he went to catch all these souls who are diving in illusion. Because Lord Chaitanya was there, there were a lot of upper sampradayas even in Bengal, in South India. There are so many classifications that are given. Sakhi, Rekha Vadi, this Vadi, that Vadi, so many Vadis were there. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was touring all over to give the proper knowledge to everyone. So this is the nature of a compassionate preacher. A preacher is in a hurry. He doesn't want to leave even one soul in this world. Like for example, Shankarshanda Sadhikari Maharaj. Now if you see his mode, what a glorious soul. He says that I will ensure that I deliver each and every living entity in this planet till the time that I live in this planet. So that is missionary zeal of someone. So a missionary has a never say die attitude. So here we see Narad Muni's persistence with Prachin Bhari, which is commendable. Now, although the king has heard all that was necessary instructions, Narad Muni again found that he was a little bit hesitant. So similarly, we see today that all necessary instructions, if you see today, Varnashrama Dharma instructions are available in the scriptures. Okay? So all these instructions are there, but nobody is following Varnashrama Dharma in today's world. Now, the interesting part here is, if you see structural segregation, which Varnashrama Dharma espouses, structural segregation, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Vyavastha. Structurally, that system is still there. Okay, it may be called in a different way. Today, for example, Someone may call it as a ministry. Ministry of education, which is Brahman. Ministry of finance and defense, which is Kshatriya. Ministry of trade and commerce, which is Vaishya. I don't know whether there is other ministry. Ministry of hard labor or something, I don't know. Right? What is home ministry, for example. So you may call, therefore there is this structure. There are teachers, right? And then there are householders who are there. Okay. There are people who are bachelors, so-called, okay, brahmacharis. And there are people who call themselves retired. And then there are those, you know, people who walk around saying that, you know, I am very renounced. They may not be, but still. So you find that structurally this system exists. But the problem is, though the structure exists, knowledge is not there. People don't know the goal. So when you don't know the goal, simply putting, having a structure is of no use. Or rather, people have a completely different goal of dharma in the first place. So therefore, when you don't know a goal, when you don't know what awaits you, what good things await you by following a process, then you will have no incentive to follow that particular process. So therefore, no one wants brahmachari training today. Neither does anyone know when to take vanapras, when to come out of grihastha life and when to take vanapras. Even as devotees, we struggle. What is the right time to retire? For example, standing at 50, I am also wondering, how long should I go? I was talking with Muralidhar Prabhu the other day, but okay, I had my essay presentation to him as a part of my Bhakti Vedanta course. So then I was talking about, you know, I had written an essay in detachment and renunciation. So as I was talking through, then Muralidhar Prabhu was asking me, so when are you getting retired? When are you retiring? So I was saying that yes, I have written an essay, but I understand everything. But still, you know, there is always that, okay, I will, you know, just one more year, let me do this. Like, just two more years, let me achieve this goal. So, the mind is like that. So, similarly, the world, and we are all conditioned in this material world. So, everyone wants to prolong, you know, surrendering to the Lord, or even detaching from active material life, till the fag end of one's life. Right? So, in this context, I was studying Maslow's theory of hierarchical needs. Many of you who have done HR in your education, you would have come across Maslow's theory. Now, in Maslow's theory, what does Maslow say? Say that basically every human being needs food, shelter, clothing, blah, 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 right? But then he also says that simply food, shelter, clothing, and salary will not keep you motivated to work in the same office, right? Ultimately, these will become what is called as hygiene factors. People will get used to it. Okay, I'm getting salary every month. What the big deal? I'm looking for better opportunities now. Okay. So, and when someone, even a big CEO, when he receives, you know, some people receive $1 million or $2 million per annum, that kind of salaries people are there, still they look for other jobs. Now, what do they want? So, he says that after all these needs are met, there is a final need that everyone works for. And Maslow calls it as self-actualization. Now, I was trying to understand, again, though I had studied it many years back when I was in my B school, but I tried to go back to see in light of Krishna consciousness whether I can get deeper meaning out of that. So, self-actualization is defined as full realization of one's creative, intellectual and social potential through internal drive. I repeat, full realization of one's creative, intellectual and social potential through internal drive. Okay, vis-a-vis external rewards like money, status, power, they have seen all of that, all these big people. Okay. So we see today that realizing my potential, people talk about this quite a lot. So even film stars, for example, film stars who are at the top, they have seen their peak in their life. They have seen fan following, they have seen women, you know, they have seen everything that, you know, money can afford, sense gratification afford. Even then they don't stop acting. They don't give up their profession. Because at the end of the day, a profession is just for livelihood. Any profession other than full-time Krishna consciousness is meant for livelihood basically. What is that verse? Dharma anushtita pumsam vishvaksena kathasuyana na upadhyaya yadirate kramayeva hi kevalam. It's useless waste of time. Any occupation which does not give you rati. So therefore, most occupations, ask any grihastha here in our conversation. Why are you working? They will say money. Nobody will say, I am working, you know, to further my Krishna consciousness. I am going to, you know, office. Nobody will say that. Because everyone wants money to sustain. Now, these people have all that. But still they continue in their profession. Why? they think that, oh, I have done most of my life, I have been acknowledged as a hero. It's time that I also play character roles. Or it's time that, you know, I try whether I can be successful as the greatest comedy. Something like that. So they'll go on till finally what happens. Recently, one great film, two big film stars died. Just 2 days back. Coincidentally died on the same day or one day, one or something. Other. So one of them is very famous in India. He has everything at his disposal. He enjoyed everything in life, but still was shooting somewhere when he got a viral infection and finished. Right? So till the end, you are pursuing the profession. You can't give up and sit and then take to renounce and take and understand what is the goal of life. So can't do it. Even sports persons, when they come to a particular stage in life, then they are called as legend, sporting legend. What more is there to achieve? When you say greatest tennis legends, and you will see all this Maria Sharapova, this Pova, that Pova, all those things you will see, right? Now you are wondering what is there left to achieve. In India, what people do, once they achieve this, they get into politics. You say, okay, I am starting my own. For example, a film star will say, I am starting my own political party. So they want to realize, you know, their potential or whatever in some other line of activity. And thus, and material world offers you infinite options. So keep on going till finally one day death comes and tells you, stop. Enough. No, right? So that is what is happening. So therefore, there is a tendency under the garb of exploring one's potential, there is a tendency to procrastinate retired life. Not to speak of renounced spiritual life. People are not even retiring and trying to say that, okay, oh, I'm just going to enjoy it. On the beach side, just swimming and then eating nice food because I have all the money, right? And sleeping. People are not even doing that. The mode of passion is such that it doesn't even allow you to go to mode of ignorance sometimes. Okay, they continue working. So, there is this famous story. Same Narad Muni gave a beautiful example of this. Narad Muni had, you know, accepted a disciple out of causeless mercy. His name was Kailash. All of you know this person, right? Narad Muni and Kailash. This Kailash was a very wealthy person. So Narad Muni once went to Kailash, and this Kailash was steeped in self gratification. He was very wealthy. He had accumulated all the wealth that he wanted, but he was not giving up. So Narad Muni was trying to cultivate this Kailash. So Narad Muni went and said that, Kailash, now enough. Now full time. No, retire now. I will teach you how to do full time devotional service. I will personally facilitate your devotional life. So Kailash said, hang on. You know, right now my sons are not big. Okay? They need a lot of guidance from me. So I have to take care of my family. When the sons become big, I will. Then what happened? Sons became big and grandsons also came. Then Narad Muni said, oh, now your sons are settled, come. Come with me. So what he said, Kailash? He said, actually, you know what, now I have my grandsons and the whole family is looking up to me for guidance, what to do. Every now and every time I try to come out, they say that, you know, you have to guide us. You are the wise person in the family. Guide us. Therefore, I am continuing. So Narad Muni said, okay, I will come later. Then next time, by the time next time Narad Muni came, what happened? He found out that Kailash has gone to, not to Kailash, Kailash went somewhere. But Narad Muni soon found out that there was a dog outside the house. So the dog saw Narad Muni and said, no, instead of barking, thankfully, the dog spoke to Narad Muni. Narad Muni could understand the language of dogs. So Narad Muni could understand that this person is Kailash. So I said, Kailash, what happened? You are standing outside as a dog. So he said, yeah, actually what happened, you know, I died. So therefore, but when I died, I found that my sons have not really, you know, all the wealth, that the family wealth, they have not really invested properly. So many things are lying here and there. The wealth is lying loosely in the house. They are not even guarding it properly. So therefore, I am guarding it now. So Narad Muni said, okay, so can you come with me? No, sir, no, let me guard it. What is that you say? Don't call me, I'll call you. So Narad Muni again went. Then after many years, again Narad Muni came back. This time dog will also not die. Okay. So Narad Muni came back and he realized that the dog is also gone. So Narad Muni gave up. In one sense, he said, okay, forget it. Now I don't know where he is. So he started walking. So he went to the back side of the house where there was a paddy field. When he was walking through the paddy field, what happened? He saw a snake that was hissing. Okay. So Narad Muni went there and then the snake realized, oh, this is Narad Muni. That was Kailash again. So snake said, I am Kailash. So Narad Muni said, what are you doing here? From front side you have not come to back side. Okay. So he said that, look, my sons have invested all the money, now they are very responsible. You know? So financially they are sorted out, invested nicely in banks and whatever, in whatever language at that time. So I am not worried about what is inside the house. Now I am worried about whatever is outside the house. So this paddy field is there. So what is happening? My children, because they wake up very, they sleep very late, they get up very late in the morning. And in the morning, elephants come and trample the paddy field. Right? Or the other neighbors who are envious, they take away the paddy from us. Therefore, my poor sons, you know, they are tired, what can they do? So as a father, you know, I am trying to protect the field, you know, from these elephants and these neighbors. Okay? So Narada Muni said, no, you're not enough. So what he said, he went to the house and he told there is a snake in your paddy field. And then the entire family snakes, they came with sticks and all that. And then they came to the snake and started beating the snake. The snake was trying to tell his and tell them that I am your father and don't hit me. I am serving you all. But the children could not understand. So they beat the snake to death. Right? So this is the snake. And then finally what happened? Then Narada Muni conversed with the soul. Then Kailash finally understood and said, okay, Narada Muni, I surrender to you now. And in the next lifetime, it is said that he became a devotee of Narada Muni and then went back to God. So this is what it takes, you know, beating the material life, you know, by our own people sometimes, to get detached. So here you see that Narada Muni now is persisting with Prachina Bali. Because Prachina Bali, he was also similarly, he was procrastinating. He was saying that, oh, let my sons come back. If you remember the purport, let my sons come back. When my sons come back, then I will give them training on how to do business. Then I'll do handover. Then I'll do a parallel run. In IT, we have that. When a project team hands over to the support team, we have a parallel run that happens till the support team takes over. So he's giving all that handover methodology here. He says, I'll do all that, and after that, that I will come to you. So, but Narada Muni this time was not in a mood. So Narada Muni said, no, I am going to continue my narration now. I am going to take it to the point that you will walk out of this place with me. So Narada Muni is determined. Now, Prabhupada quoted an interesting, certain interesting quote by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, let the dead bury the dead. This was a quote from Jesus Christ. What does it mean? It means, let someone take care of the kingdom. In one sense, in this context, it means, let someone else take care of the kingdom. Because people who are dead, they will want to continue, you know. Prabhupada said, no? When Prabhupada was in the city, Prabhupada said, what can you see? Prabhupada said, walking, clapping dead bodies, going here and there, even in the airports. Prabhupada said, walking, clapping dead bodies. Because when someone doesn't know the goal of life, that person is considered as dead. Jivan api bhutto hi sa. Dead while living in this body. So that's what Lord Jesus meant. Let the dead bury the dead. Let the dead continue to doing, you know, these worldly activities. So let someone take care of the kingdom was Narada Muni's message to Prachin Bali. So that you can completely take to spiritual life and immediately renounce. So similarly, we see even in Srila Prabhupada's life, when Srila Prabhupada was very attached to the independence movement of Mahatma Gandhi. So Srila Prabhupada, you know, he heard Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his spiritual master, saying, Bhakti, but Prabhupada said, but India get independent, after that we will do Bhakti. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati said, Bhakti process cannot wait for anything in this world. It has to be done yesterday. Bhakti start today. It cannot wait for any independence. So, there are several examples of spiritual masters who have insisted or persisted with their disciples not to wait for a material cause to begin their serious bhakti. So, coming back to Varnashrama Dharma, which we were talking at some earlier. So, Varnashrama Dharma says that at some point, one has to give up active work life, the grihastha life, and take to 24 hours serious Krishna consciousness without misusing the Dowtailing principle. What is misusing Dowtailing principle? That someone will continue making money till they are 75 and then they will say Yukta Vairagya. Prabhu, I am using this money for preaching. No. I am giving halwa on weekends to devotees who come to my house. So this is what is called as misusing the Dowtailing principle. Okay. So actually at some point in time we are all required to give up active work life and take 24 hours serious Krishna consciousness. I was hearing in a lecture Jaya Advaita Swami's example. All of us know he's a very exalted personality, very realized soul. So Jaya Advaita Swami once, you know, he was giving a class somewhere. And he said, in the class, he said, even in spiritual life, even in spiritual life. Now we are talking about material retirement. But Maharaj is saying, even in spiritual life, we must at some time hand over the reins. Even in spiritual life, we must at some time hand over the reins at a certain age to newer devotees, to younger people, and simply engage in the process of hearing, chanting and preaching 24 hours a day. That is our core mission, right? Now, as Maharaj said that in the class, he suddenly became grave. And as an afterthought, he realized what he had said, and he said, actually, I am myself continuing as the editor of Back to Godhead magazine. So why didn't I start being an example of whatever I just now spoke? So at that moment, he decided that, you know, he will hand over this responsibility. So there with Maharaj, after that class, soon thereafter, he travelled to the United States, and at that time he handed over the onus of Back to Godhead editing to Nagaraj Prabhu, who is, I think, the present editor of Back to Godhead. So at some point in time, even in spiritual life, we are expected to do that. What to speak of in material life, more so. So, however, people in Kali Yuga still hold on to their businesses or control over home. But material nature will do its activity. Material nature will not leave just because somebody is thief. Just like the ostrich. The ostrich can, you know, probably feign ignorance of a danger behind, but the danger, the tiger will come and eat eventually. So, material nature will continue doing its job. Sometimes, even grihasthas don't want to give up family life. Being very attached to their home and hearth, to their wife, children, they have a chakala adishu, as Parishit Prabhupada was some explained in the beginning of second canto. So, parents don't want to leave home, but sometimes, even if parents don't want to leave home, the children may ask parents to, thank you very much, time is up, can we split? The world is going that way today. Everyone wants independent space. So children may ask parents to leave. Or even if the parents don't leave, the children themselves may treat the parents in such a way that the parents will say, better I don't stay in this house. And they will get detached. So even for devotees, if we forcefully don't cultivate this detachment, then Krishna will, through his other energies, he will eventually give situations by which we will be detached. So, in this context, in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 10, Text number 6, there is a very interesting purport where Chanakya Pandit is quoted in the purport. Srila Prabhupada, Chanakya Pandit says, San nimitte varam tyago vinashe niyate sati, which means what? Everything within this material world will be destroyed, and therefore one should use everything for good purposes. Use everything that we have for good purposes. So Srila Prabhupada expands this purport by saying, if one is advanced in knowledge, he must always be prepared to sacrifice anything for a better cause. At the present moment, Prabhupada says, the entire world is in a dangerous position under the spell of a godless civilization. The Krishna consciousness movement needs many exalted learned persons who will sacrifice their lives to revive God consciousness throughout the world. And then Prabhupada says, we therefore invite all men and women advanced in knowledge to join the Krishna consciousness movement and sacrifice their life for the great cause of reviving God consciousness in human society. Because anyway, our money is going to be taken away. So, it is up to us to take this instruction seriously and decide when the choice is there to engage in 24 hours of hearing, chanting and preaching. So, it is all of us, for us. The free will is never taken away by the Lord. In one sense, that is the biggest problem. It is said that the Lord only takes away the free will of someone who has completely surrendered his free will. What is that famous verse? Panchajanyam Rishikesho Devadattam Dhananjaya Boundam Dharma Mahashankam Bhima Karma Vipadaranga. The conchals are blown in the battlefield of Kurukshetra in the first chapter. Each and every conchal is described. There Lord Krishna is described as Rishikesh in that purport. And then Krishna says, For a pure devotee, Lord Krishna controls the senses of the pure devotee. Why? Because a pure devotee has surrendered his free will to the Lord. That's why they are called as pure devotees. Whereas as long as we hold on to our free will, Lord Krishna is not going to interfere. Therefore, it is up to us to take to this life of 24 hours of hearing, chanting and preaching. So, Narada Muni again is trying to somehow get Prachin Bhari to come to that stage of retirement over here. So, we see in Srimad Bhagavatam, in other sections as well, we see timely retirement happen. Very so many exalted personalities are there. There is a chapter called as Pandavas Retire Timely. Right? It is the first canto. The Pandavas retire timely. Okay. So, we see Pandavas retiring timely. We see Muchukunda retiring timely. We see Vidur. Vidur saw an opportunity when when Duryodhan insulted Vidur, what happened? He took immediately that as an opportunity. He didn't lament, oh, my family is not treating me well, I am in the depression, let me go to a psychiatrist. No. He said, very nice, okay. Even I wanted to get detached. Now you want to throw me out, very good. I myself was, it's a good opportunity. Thank you very much for detaching me from you. Right? So Narada Muni embarks on a pilgrimage. But interesting, the same Narada Muni, Vidur, who went on a pilgrimage, later on what happened? He came back to, out of affection for Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra was a real rasa. Okay, after so many beatings, he still was not coming into any kind of semblance of consciousness of spirituality, right? But Vidur didn't give up. Out of affection, he came back. The only reason was affection. He came back and he ensured that Vidur is out of his house because Dhritarashtra was not listening. So he told him that no more palace, no more cozy life for you. Enough. You are living like a dog. He said, now who wants to be called a dog? Right? Especially when you are a king, you don't want to be called as a dog. So he spoke very harsh words. So Narada Muni here is also an expert. Vidur was also an expert there. Vidur also knew when to persuade, when to really give hard words so that someone changes, or when to give up. So these people are experts. So sometimes we also, when we see this first time, we also realize that we need great shock in our life, or we need serious chastisement to get detached from a comfort laden, predictable life, which we get used to. Only then we become serious. And the whole world is like that, in one sense. So, now, even if sometimes devotees want to be proactive, even without a beating, let us say you want to proactively follow Krishna consciousness, the world will not believe. For example, sometimes a youth, sorry, all of you, when you took it, it's not necessary that all of you got severe beatings in life and then you came to Krishna. Yes, there were struggles, but some people, not everyone goes through beatings. So sometimes really one is jigyasu, because four types of people approach, artho, artharthi, jigyasu and jnani. Not everyone needs to be in distress, right? So some people still out of jigyasu or out of past shukriti came in touch with a devotee, got inspired, even without a material problem, and came into bhakti. But when we start chanting, devotees, our relatives or our friends will still come and ask, what happened to you? You were normal before. Why you are now taking this deep life? Why you are shaven? Everything was, your hairstyle was very nice earlier. Right? So people will ask. So people associate detachment with some misery necessarily that must have happened to someone's life. Right? So even when a devotee is proactive, the world is tuned to this, that only when you are miserable you should go to God. Okay. So they think like that, and they therefore impose their thinking on others also when they ask the question. Any problem in life because of which you are chanting? Like that. No problem in life because I am chanting. Right? So, Narada Muni is not satisfied with Prachin Bharhi's maturity at this point in time, even after giving him instructions. So, he wants to give him more impetus to hear and chant 24 hours. Because Narada Muni realizes, Prachin Bharhi has not realized, but Narada Muni has realized that Prachin Bharhi's status quo will be destroyed by time, Kala Shakti of the Lord. So, and this Kala Shakti is very powerful. In Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, in chapter 51, 19th text, Muchukunda prays to Lord Krishna. He says, Kalo Baliyan Balina, Bhagavan Ishwaro Abhyayah, Praja Kalayate Kridan, Pashu Palo Yatha Pashun. Muchukunda says that inexhaustible time, stronger than the strong is time, is the Lord Himself. That time is nothing but Krishna. Like a herdsman moving his animals along, he moves mortal creatures as his pastime. Lord is herding everything through time. So, some of us are big, some of us may be small, but all of us are controlled by time. Now, solution is recommended that if we want to overcome the effect of this time, it can only be done by hearing and chanting. It can be done only by hearing and chanting Krishna Katha, the glories of the Lord. In Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 2, text 3, verse 17, there is a famous verse. What is the verse? Ayo harati vayapumsan udyan ashtam chayan asav tas yarte yakshano nita uttama shloka vartaya. With every rising and setting of the sun, we are one step closer to death. So therefore, only that person, uttama shloka vartaya, who is engaged in glorifying the Lord, such a person can escape the debilitating effect of time. Okay. So, it is recommended that we have to get immersed in Krishna consciousness. Now, sometimes, you know, as practicing devotees also, we may desire to see the Lord, okay, having practiced Krishna consciousness for some time. Like for example, even today, yesterday someone was speaking to me. He said, Prabhuji, you are so fortunate, you are on the roster tomorrow, you will get to see Radha Vallabha, we are missing. You know, many of them don't have any services right now in the temple. So all those congregation members are waiting for the day the temple will open. I've heard many conversations with the congregation like this. Everyone wants to take darshan of God, Nitya, Radha Vallabha, Jagannath, Mandir, Subhadra. So they are waiting. So many times we desire to see the Lord. Okay. And even otherwise also, even when we are seeing the Archavikraha, we still have the desire that one day, you know, I will see the bending form, Shamsundara form of the Lord, hopefully in this lifetime. So, but many times we cannot see, okay, we cannot see the Lord. But it is said that we should not get despondent. And there is an interesting example. Why we should not get despondent is because we see in Srimad Bhagavatam that many devotees who, without meeting the Lord personally, have still attained pure devotion. So it's not required to see the Lord to attain pure devotion. In the context of Narad Muni continuing this conversation with Prachin Bahi, Narad Muni wants Prachin Bahi to experience Krishna. Okay, but it is not necessary to experience Krishna through the eyes only. Now, very good examples are there in Srimad Bhagavatam. Again, go to 10th canto, 29th chapter, in text 27. Lord Krishna is Himself telling the gopis. When the gopis come to Lord Krishna meeting for the rasa dance, what does Lord say? One, they have come to Him in the dead of the night. And then Lord Krishna is telling them, He says, Shravanad Darshanad Dhyayam Mai Bhavo Nukirtanad Anukirtanad Na Tatha Sannikarshena Pratiyata Tato Grahan. Which means what? Transcendental love for me arises. Lord is telling the gopis when they have come to meet Him. Transcendental love for me arises by the devotional processes of hearing about me, seeing my deity form, meditating on me, and faithfully chanting my glories. The same result is not achieved by mere physical proximity. The same result is not achieved by mere physical proximity. Therefore, please go back to your home. He's telling the gopis. Of course, that's a different pastime, but still the lesson is very valuable for all of us. So please go back home. So you can still achieve transcendental love for me and realize it by simply hearing about me. So this is why Narad Muni is persisting this conversation with Prachin Bahi. So simply by hearing, Prachin Bahi will have experience of the Lord. Now, so many asuras are there who have had proximity, but they don't become devotees. That is also another example. Just by proximity to the Lord, one will not. On the other hand, people who have never seen the Lord, they also become devotees. What's a good example of that? It is the example of the Brahman Patnis, the wives of the Yajni Brahmanas. Okay. Now, when ultimately Lord Krishna gave them mercy, even the husbands were bewildered. Hang on here. You people are sitting at home all the time cooking or doing God knows what you people are doing. We are the ones who are doing all these big yajna, om, swaha, all those yajnas we are doing. But then you never realize Lord Krishna, what's going on here? Okay. So they are also bewildered. You know, when their wives met Lord Krishna and they were not into. So how come the wives, they are wondering, how did our wives attain such an advanced stage about Lord Krishna? So the husband did not know that the wives had regular association with the exalted, most exalted devotees in the whole of cosmos. Who are those? The gopis. They did not understand. They didn't realize that the gopis used to come to Mathura. They used to come to Mathura to sell butter, to sell flowers, etc. And at that time, these gopis and the wives of the Yagi Brahmanas, they will have constant discussions about the beauty of Krishna as well as the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. The Lord's healing butter. They heard all these things. So just by hearing this, they develop pure devotion for Lord Krishna. Similarly, when you see Rukmini's pastime also, Rukmini is writing her love letter to the Lord. He has not seen it, but still she has decided, I will marry this personality. Why? By the process of hearing. Right? So, in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 12, Lord Krishna describes in the 13th to the 19th verse, in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 12, 13 to 19, qualities of devotees are outlined. So, Lord says, transcendentalists, good qualities of transcendentalists. Quality is this, these devotees are dear to me, the Lord says. If you have these qualities, you are dear to me. However, in the 20th text there, Lord tells of those devotees who are extra special dear to me. He talks about 13 to 19 qualities, these qualities dear. But in 20 he says, these people are extra special to me. What is the verse? Ye tu dharma mritam idam yathoktam paryupashate shraddhana mat parama bhaktaste ati eva me priya. Ati eva me priya means what? Little bit extra special. Right? So in English, what's the translation? Those who follow this imperishable path of devotional service or bhakti and who completely engage themselves with faith, making me the supreme goal, are very, very dear to me. So he uses the word very, very dear. Ati eva me priya. So usually any transcendentalists also have lots of good qualities. They are also honest. Even the Brahmavadis are very honest. The Mayavadis also may show lot of these qualities of austerity, etc., etc. But it is said that while they may so show some or many of these qualities, it is said by practicing devotional service, we will get all these qualities. That is why in the characteristics of devotional service, Klesha Agni, Shubhada, Sandrananda Visheshatma, Krishna Akashini, the second one is what? Shubhada. Shubhada means what? All the auspicious qualities dawn upon a devotee. 100% of those qualities. Qualitative oneness with the Lord, which means we have attained 100% of those qualities. Therefore, it is said that even sadhana bhakti, we are not even speaking of bhava bhakti or prema bhakti, even sadhana bhakti in bhakti yoga is more dear to Lord Krishna than one who has attained the pinnacle in other yogic methods. Even a neophyte in bhakti is more dear to the Lord than someone who has attained the heights of Ashtanga yoga and in impersonal samadhi. Right? So this is the power of bhakti. Now, how does this, to be the last part of our class, how does this sadhana bhakti help develop these qualities? Okay. So, this is a very, there is a chapter in 10th canto, which is chapter 10, which is called, not chapter 10, I think 10th canto, forgot the chapter, I think it's towards the end probably, it's between the 80 and 90 chapter, it's called Prayers of the Personified Buddhas. Probably it's the third last chapter of the 10th canto, okay. Where the Shrutis are praying, the Shrutis are praying in the beginning. So, in the purports to text number 16, in the Prayers of Personified Vedas, Hridayananda Maharaj, because Prabhupada had not written those purports, so Hridayananda Maharaj is writing, because all the Vedas declare the supremacy of the personality of Godhead as the cause of all causes, discriminating persons should take to his worship, because the Vedas say so. By diving into the ocean of his glories, intelligent persons, intelligent devotees help dispel the distress of all souls and loosen their own burning attachment to materialistic life. These advancing devotees gradually give up all material attachment and lose any interest they once had in the troublesome austerities of karma, jnana and yoga. So when you dive deeply into Krishna consciousness, what happens? Whatever vestiges of liking you have for other processes like karma, jnana, yoga, all that will go away, because you will start getting direct experience of that which you wanted anyway in the first place by following those yogic processes. Therefore, we see Narad Muni is trying to get Prachin Bhargi to dive into the glorious instructions of the Lord in eagerness. In Narad Muni's eagerness, he wants him to give up all this karma, jnana, etc., etc., whatever that has gone into his mind because of his previous so-called, you know, conditioning based on the spiritual masters, whatever he has had. They have all conditioned him like that. So Narad Muni is very keen now to get him out of that. Now, Narad Muni knows that only when he gives up these processes and takes to Bhakti Yoga will he go to the next stage. And in the same chapter, Prayers of Personified Veda, the further purport Radhana Maharaj is writing there, he says, beyond these, okay, when a devotee gives up all these processes and takes to Bhakti, so they become devotees. But beyond these devotees are the Suris. He's talking one level above these devotees. Beyond the devotees, means he's practicing devotees, are the Suris. Connoisseurs of spiritual truths. Connoisseurs of spiritual truths. Who honor the nectarian ocean of the Supreme Lord's glories by immersing themselves fully within it. Where they are fully immersed in the glories of the Lord. So today we are hearing, today we are preaching also, but are we immersed? We are immersed to the extent we want to preach maybe. Right? We study the Bhagavatam if we have to give a class, for example. Okay, or we have an exam, our teacher is behind us. Okay, we study the Srimad Bhagavatam. But are we spontaneously immersed in the Srimad Bhagavatam? So that is the stage of Suris. These mature devotees of the Supreme Lord achieve unimaginable perfection. Unimaginable perfection. The Lord, reciprocating their sincere endeavors, empowers them to realize Him in His personal form. Remembering with rapture, which is bhava coming, remembering with rapture the Lord's intimate pastimes and entourage, they are automatically freed from the last subtle traces of mental contamination and from sensitivity to the unavoidable pains of disease and old age. Completely detached from the material world. From the allurements of the material world as well as from the pains of the material world. Detachment destiny for both. Completely. So, saintly personalities such as Narad Muni are extra special in this context. So are their blessing and mercy extra special. Their affection is available for all the jivas. Narad Muni is not discriminating. You will see throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam, he catches anyone and everyone and makes them a devotee. Sometimes, you know, whenever we see a devotee who doesn't discriminate and runs behind everyone to get them for programs, we call them as Narad Muni. Right? Because that is Narad Muni. Narad Muni is giving mercy to everyone, the fallen as well as the elevated. Like Lord Nityananda. Papa Pashanda Nahi Mane. But like Lord Chaitanya. No discrimination. Give it free. Everyone is welcome to do bhakti. Why? Because Narad Muni is the mercy manifestation of Krishna. He is a Shakti Adarsh. He has got those vibhutis in his hand. He is the mercy manifestation of Lord Krishna. And therefore, because he is the mercy manifestation, Narad Muni, it is said in 11th canto that Narad Muni extends himself even to Kripanas. Kripana means what? Miser. Even to a miserly people. Why? Miser means what? Miser means one who wastes his resources. Neither he uses it for himself nor he wants to give it to anyone else. So therefore, human beings who are wasting their human intelligence, neither themselves taking Krishna consciousness nor extending themselves, you know, for others' welfare by giving them Krishna consciousness, such people are called as what? Misers. So Narayana saw that Prachin Bhargi was also one such miser. Okay, so he had everything at his disposal, all power, all fame, everything he has. If he becomes a devotee, then he can extend himself to so many people are influenced by such great personality. So therefore, Narad Muni is persisting here. He is persisting. Now, it is said that such blessings from a pure devotee, again, I am taking something from 11th canto, something which touched my heart, okay, I am sharing before ending the class. Such blessings from a pure devotee are different from the blessings that one gets from demigods. The blessings from devotees, from a pure devotee, is different from the blessings from a demigod. Why? Because while the blessings from demigod gives happiness in the short term, it will give distress in the long term. We have known many examples. Hiranyakashipu asking from Brahmaji, standing on one leg and doing tapasya. What happened at that? Right? Or that, what is Bhasmasura? Ran down the head. Whoever's head I touched, they should die. So Shivaji says, okay, tata. So he also got finished because of the blessing. So sometimes Lord has to come to the demigod and say, why are you giving these blessings? It is causing more nuisance. Not only for me and the other, but even for the person who you gave the blessings. Even that person is not happy. So the happiness even which comes through demigod's mercy is not eternal. Whereas the mercy of a devotee may come in the form of a curse in the short term, like Danta Vakra, Vakra and those two tall trees. Who are, sorry, not Danta Vakra. Who are those two tall trees? Kuvera and sons of Kuvera. Manigriva and Nala Kuvera and Mani Kuvera. So those people are standing as trees. There was a curse. Short term discomfort was there. But in the long term, they got something which even Lord Shiva cannot see. Lord Shiva also wants to come in the garb of a mendicant to see the Gokul pastimes of the Lord, and they saw it every day. And those two were rascals, they were actually naked in front of Narada Muni. So just imagine. So the curse of a saintly personality is more beneficial than the blessing of a demigod. So that point very nicely comes in 11th canto. When you when we are delving into the discussion between Maharaj Muni and the Navayogendras, this point is coming out. Also, demigods only give you whatever they give you. Even that happiness which you get by blessings of demigod, they are giving it, taking from your own karma. Just like the teller in the bank, he will take the money from your own thing and then you take a token and he will give you back this your own money. Now you don't tell the teller, thank you very much for your benevolence or charity. He is giving your own money. Maximum he can give you a bank over. He can say, yeah, I am authorized to give you another $20. That's all he can give, right? So they only give from your karma. But the demigods cannot interfere with your karma. But the saintly personality can interfere with our karma. Initiation, what happens? Interference with our karma. They can take away the karma, right? So lava matra sadhu can burn, they can burn the karma to ashes. In such a way that they will never sprout again. That is the power of sadhu, of a saintly person. Now why they are able to do that? Why Narada Muni and such saintly personalities are able to burn our karma? Because the power, they are given the power to burn our karma because of their purity. Because of their purity and because of their selflessness. They don't even care. They are willing to be persecuted for giving us. For example, Jesus. What a glorious personality Jesus Christ is, right? So he was put on the cross. Still you are doing. Message out to everyone. My dear Romans. Okay, I have many more things to tell you, right? So this is the quality of an exalted personality. Haridas Thakur. Beaten in 22 marketplaces. Still giving to suffer. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Thank. Do whatever you want, but I will not give up on you people. Why? These people don't have any Purushabhava. They don't have any desire for glory. They are full of compassion only. So even when they are being hit, they are thinking, oh my God, you are suffering. They are not thinking, oh, I am suffering because you hit me in marketplace. No, you people are suffering. That's their thing. So therefore, these saintly personalities extend themselves for mankind. What to speak of mankind? They extend themselves to the animals also. We have seen many pastimes of Narada Muni where he has gone and reformed people who were hunters, who were involved in animal killing. So their mercy extends to animals. So they are samadarshi. That is why they are so powerful. They see the soul in every living entity. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exemplified that. Even as a saint. He went to the Jharkhand forest and made the tiger also chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So the causeless mercy of Narada Muni as an exalted personality unto Prachin Bali is coming out in this particular verse of our discussion today. Where Narada Muni is telling me more and more, even without Prachin Bali now asking. Because Narada Muni really is concerned about Prachin Bali. I have to deliver you. You are suffering in this world. So Narada Muni is continuing. So in further verses after today, we will see that Narada Muni, through everyday life examples, he is trying to make it very simple for Prachin Bali to understand. He is taking everyday life examples of other living entities. He is giving the example of the deer, he is giving the example of the grasshopper, etc. in a very simple manner, so that Prachin Habbari will understand this great subject matter of science of self-realization and will give up his karmakanda and surrender to the lotus feet of the Lord. Hare Krishna. Stop the class here and ask if there are any comments or questions. So still we have 3 minutes more. So you're tired, isn't it? Okay, if there are no questions, I'll stop here and seek all of the blessings. Progress in spiritual life. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.